You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Echols Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Monday morning to you, liberty lovers and ecclesiastes all around the globe. It is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the, not from the Bunker Eye studio this morning, sorry. From an undisclosed location here in the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bus getting some work done in the Bunker Eye studio, but hopefully we'll be back in there fairly soon, and then I can put in some new electronic equipment, new computers and such. I have a love-hate relationship with computers. Technology, period. As if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that that computers and electronics and me, we do battle almost daily. And I usually lose the little battles, but I swear I'm going to win the war. I am that determined. But here it is, Monday, September number 10 in the year of our Lord, 2018, as we kick off this week. A little bit chilly, a little bit gloomy, expecting some rain today here in the northern climes of New England. But it's going to heat up before you know it, before it cools down again for a long period of time. Because it's September. We're heading into October. And all the kiddies are now starting to get excited about Halloween. Yeah, you know, I've never really been a huge fan of Halloween. Yeah, I went trick-or-treating as a kid, but it was just brief. Now Halloween is like there's this big, huge lead-up. I mean, they've already got Halloween costumes in the stores. I mean, seriously. It's almost like Christmas. Well, the only good thing about Halloween, if you want to call it a good thing, becoming such a big holiday, is we're not getting Christmas stuff in stores in September. Because stores, they need the floor space for all the Halloween stuff. It's fascinating. That we've gone from, you know, Christmas in September to Halloween. It's kind of hard for them to do it earlier because they're too busy with back to school in July. The kids just get out of school and all of a sudden now everybody's got the back to school stuff and back to school commercials and sales and specials, and you know, kids don't want to see that. But the American retail market is the envy of the world, but I don't know why, because we've commercialized everything, and if there isn't a holiday, we'll just make one up that we can commercialize. You know, I brought you holidays before invented by these people of some sort of farm and herb thing that invent all these different holidays. And it's just commercialized stuff. It's, you know, Santa Claus as we see him today. Well, he was invented by Macy's, right? All those long years ago. So, you could just take any holiday. Well, there are some holidays that they haven't been able to abscond with. You know, they pretty much pass over Thanksgiving. Well, not really. Thanksgiving is a food holiday, so all your grocery stores, your food outlet, anybody that has anything to do with food, they really take advantage of Thanksgiving for obvious reasons. But there are other holidays that just don't seem to get it. That don't seem to have taken off commercially. I mean, Easter still isn't Now, you know, Christians are calling it Resurrection Sunday versus Easter. So that really isn't. I think it's actually gotten less commercial, which is obviously a good thing. But I believe it has. Easter Resurrection Sunday has actually become less commercial. As a matter of fact, usually it's now it's just spring. You know, it's spring sales, spring colors, all that kind of. It used to be about Easter, but now it's not. So that's one holiday that's lost its retail glamour and glitz. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I think Valentine's Day has stepped it up a notch. Obviously, you know, because Americans love booze, but we're not the only ones. You know, we always talk about St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo. Do you know that other countries have even bigger drinking holidays than we do? I don't know what they're called, but Ireland, well, every day is a drinking holiday in Ireland. But even, you know, Americans and Irish aren't the biggest alcohol drinkers on the planet. We drink an awful lot of beer, and Irish drink an awful lot of beer as well, beer, ale, that type of thing. But other countries, I mean, French. You know, you would think that the French would be alcoholics by the amount of wine that they put down. The amount of alcohol consumption. The United States is in the top five, but we're not number one. Believe it or not, Japan is the worst. According to this study that I saw, it was a few months ago. I guess, what, Japanese like sake? Well, they drink that stuff like water. Literally. I'm just saying. So I don't know how they measure all this stuff, but evidently, you know, France and Japan and Germany are bigger alcoholic drinkers than the Irish and Americans. Well, obviously, you know, Germans and their beer, obviously. Yeah, the French drink an awful. Maybe that's why wine is so damn cheap in France, because they drink an awful lot of it to push them. But they don't have alcohol problems. You never hear about alcohol. You know, is there an Alcoholics Anonymous in France? I was kind of shocked to learn that Japan was up there. Yeah. But yeah, there's an awful lot of sake. any case, interesting stuff about things that go on in the world. See, the United States is not the center, as leftists would like you to believe here, the United States is not the center of the universe. And, you know, really, most Americans don't want it to be. Most Americans, you know, you get the left that tries to tell us that, well, that's just arrogant, man, you know, make America great. You know, do everything for America. Yeah, that's what you're about. Because if you're a Frenchman living in France, it should be about make France great. I don't know what's so difficult to understand about loving the country that you're from or loving the country that you adopt. Why would you want to move? You know, if I were to ever move to Iceland, would I ever want to change Iceland into becoming more like the U.S.? No. Well, if I'm going to live there, if I'm going to make it my adopted home, I should be more Icelandic. After all, isn't that why you're moving to a particular place? If you come to America, don't you want to be more American? Otherwise, why would you come? You know, if you want to move to Greece, shouldn't you be more like a Greek? Otherwise, why would you move there? It's just idiotic to try to make the your new adopted place more like the place that you hated so much that you left. This is why I don't understand. You know, you get these people come across the border from south of our border. You know, make California, make Texas, make America, Mexico. Well, if you want Mexico, go back to Mexico. If you want Guatemala, go back to Guatemala. Pretty much, it's that simple. Not complicated. So I don't understand what the problem is with being proud of your homeland. even if it's just your adopted homeland. You know, if you're French, be proud of being French, man. My once-in-a-lifetime trip to France, it was great. It was, you know, beautiful, beautiful country, what I saw, what little of it I saw. Great people. Be proud to be French. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to France and then all of a sudden see a bunch of malls and Sears and Kmarts and Walmarts all over the place. I mean, I didn't see that back home. So, no, most Americans don't think that we're the center of the world, nor do we want to be. We're just happy with America, with the USA. Nothing wrong with it. Canadians can be very proud and happy to be Canadian. Great. Nothing wrong. I haven't been to Canada in a while. Years. But Canada is slightly different from the United States. I used to love taking trips across the border in Canada. It was beautiful. It was a lot of fun. People were great. But I didn't expect it to be completely like the USA. Well, except for maybe Niagara Falls. I mean, that's... Well, the Canadian side is a lot better than the Americans. It's for viewing. The falls, obviously. The Canadian side is much better than the American side at Niagara Falls. If you're there to view the falls itself, well, I mean, it's hard to see the because you have the Horseshoe Falls and you have the, which is the big falls, and you have the American Falls, which is on the American side. It's hard to see that one when you're standing right next to it. The viewing is obviously a lot better from the Canadian side. But you'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference between, you know, if you go to Toronto, you kind of know you're in a foreign city. If you're an American and you're in Toronto, you know you're in a foreign city in Toronto. But Niagara Falls, you don't know. The American side and the Canadian side, they're almost like, you know, as far as their atmosphere and feel, and they're almost identical. And of course, you know, since we both speak the King's English, and there really isn't a whole lot of Canadian accent on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls either. So they're not out and about in the boat, eh? Not there. And so you even get the sound is very much like being in the USA. So it's not very different at the falls. But in any case, I don't want to, you know, discourage anybody from going. You should go. If you've never been, you should see it. It's a magnificent view. It's amazing. Again, nature, Mother Nature herself is amazing. The power of those falls is just absolutely incredible. And now I have seen a recent picture. It looks, the last time I was at the falls, actually there, the horseshoe, it looks totally different. Because Mother Nature keeps wearing away and eroding the falls, and it keeps moving back farther and farther. And it's, you know, just one of those things. It's the way it works. Any case, welcome back to the program this morning. On to Twitter. Twitter, this is a big brouhaha. Now, I first got wind of this over on gab.ai. I'm like, what? What are you guys talking about? Well, evidently, Twitter suspends Benghazi hero after he criticized former President Obama. Obama stepped out of the shadows last week. And reminded Americans of many economic, domestic, and foreign policy failures, including that of Benghazi. Now, Benghazi hero Chris Peronto responded to the former president that Chris has not forgotten about the men lost as Obama did nothing. Benghazi is a conspiracy at Barack Obama. How about we do this? Let's put your cowardly ass on top of a roof with six of your buddies in shooting RPGs and AK-47s at you while a terrorist lob 81-millimeter mortars, killing two of your buddies while waiting for U.S. support that you never sent. Evidently, that tweet got Chris Peranto suspended. The politics of division and paranoia, Obama says, has found a home, unfortunately, in the Republican Party. They've embraced wild conspiracy theories by those surrounding Benghazi or my birth certificate. So Benghazi is a conspiracy theory, so an ambassador and three other Americans were not killed. I mean, this is just ludicrous. Now, I know that there are some conspiracies about why Benghazi happened. What was Anderson was his name, the ambassador. I've heard the conspiracy theory that he was gay, and that Clinton, Hillary, either on purpose or by accident, let it slip that he was. And of course, in the part of the world that he was at, that's not a good idea. Now, I don't know if he was or wasn't. If he was, then he was pretty much a dumbass for going there. Knowing how those people, feel, those people, how they feel about homosexuals. And he's an American. That was probably not a good idea if that were the case. It doesn't give an excuse. Now, I'm not trying to make an excuse, people. It's not an excuse for people to be horrific to other people like that. But if that were true and it were to get out, it would make him a marked man. Not to mention, he's also an American, for crying out loud. That's three strikes. He's an American, he's a Westerner, and he's gay. I mean, that's it. Again, I don't know if he is or is. That's just the rumor or scuttlebutt, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I don't particularly care. I mean, the problem is that he was an ambassador that did not get the protection that he thought he was going to have. And you had people that were on the ground that tried to do their job and protect other Americans, and they didn't get the help when they begged for it. And so when Obama gets back on the speaking circuit and talks about this and talks about that, and the economy and the conspiracies, and somebody calls him out on it, that's the person who gets banned or suspended on Twitter. Oh, remember, Twitter doesn't have an algorithm that leans against conservatives, right? So you cannot call a former president, Democrat president, out on his lies. But you can be an anti-white supremacist calling for the death of white people and not even be touched, not even be warned. I can't tell you how many tweets I've seen from leftists out there that are anti-white. Yeah, white people should. And I'm not talking about from people who are non or who are white that hate themselves. I mean, that's just, that's just self-loathing. If you want to be self-loathing, go right ahead. I'm talking about not from blacks either, but from other nationalities that hate, and they're Americans. What's her name from the New York Times? Viciously anti-white. And doesn't hide it in her tweets either, but, instead of suspending her, hey, they just make her an editor at the New York Times, which gives her even more cred. Oh, by the way, that doesn't mean they won't get suspended, Ben, if they have cred. Well, Twitter's also, Jack's also threatened the president. Don't think that the president can't be suspended. Really? So first of all, the president can't block anybody on his own personal @RealDonaldTrump account, because the court said that's, you know, against people's freedom of speech and expression if he blocks them. Not the White House Twitter page, not the Oval Office Twitter page, but the president's personal Twitter page, the Twitter page that he had before he became president. That's still the same one. He can't block anybody, because that would be a violation of somebody's First Amendment rights. But Twitter is saying, well, but we can block him. We can block the president. So that's not going to be a violation of the president's rights? I mean, this is such a double standard, folks. It is just blatant. I mean, they used to try to hide this stuff a little bit. They're not even hiding it anymore. They're not even trying. This is just absolute blatant disregard for individual belief, which is completely anti-American. And then you double down and you claim that you're not being biased, but you ban you ban Alex Jones for life. Why? Has he really threatened anybody? Has he called for the death of anybody on Twitter? No. But Alex Jones is mean. But then you get editors of the New York Times that actually call for the death of white people, and they don't even get spanked. Can somebody tell me how this is not biased? And we're supposed to believe Jack. Again, a guy who I've never seen a picture of him looking, resting face where he looks happy. Look, folks, people are miserable on the left. You thought that they would have been ecstatic and all happy when Barack Obama was reelected. Forget about elected. How about reelected? No, they weren't happy then either. Remember, we got Occupy Wall Street under Obama. I know people have forgotten about that. I haven't forgotten about Occupy. We got Occupy Wall Street under Obama. They got the person that they wanted to be president, and they still weren't happy. I don't think these people can have the ability to be happy. I think it is really a mental disorder. Liberalism, leftism is a mental disorder. And I know that some people can argue, well, it's because it's for idiots only. I get it. I mean, you look at David Hogg, what he said up there in Canada, and you look at Ocasio-Cortez and what she says on a daily basis. I get the fact that some people think that, these are the poster children for the social Democrat, socialist, whatever, the left. I get it. They're the poster children for idiocy. Uh-huh. So maybe it is really a mental disorder. I mean, I know we like to laugh and joke about it, but honestly, there is a similarity between these people that double down on this democratic socialism crap. None of them look happy. Well, except for Ocasio-Cortez. She just looks crazy. She does. She looks like Adam Schiff. She's got Adam Schiff eyes. She's got Adam Schiff eyes. A very poor imitation of Kim Carnes. Well, she's got that gruff kind of voice. I don't know how you... She got the Demi Moore voice, but she was Demi Moore before Demi Moore was Demi Moore. There's been a few female vocal artists like that. Not many, because it's not very... There is something about a deep female voice, though. Still very feminine, like Kathleen Turner. Sexy voice on that woman. Any case, there has got to be some sort of mental, we do know that supposedly, medical science has said that those who are truly leftists, there's a different part of their brain that fires off, and it's not the part. Now, this is science. Supposedly, this is scientific fact, folks. This can explain a lot. If you are a true leftist, the part of your brain that uses reason and logic does not fire. The part of your brain that is emotional, that's the part that fires. Now, if you are a moderate or conservative, then evidently the reason and logical part of your brain is what fires, and you're able to control the emotional part. So technically, I guess, according to these initial studies of brain scans, yes, liberalism is literally a mental disorder. It's a brain disorder. It explains a lot, actually. I'm not making this up. You can look it up. I am not making this up. True leftists or liberals, they have a problem in their brain is in that they do not utilize the logic reasoning center of the brain, and it does not control or overrule the emotion. In other words, liberals are like permanent children.
Zinc.
We'll I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Jordan Belfort is back in the news somewhat. For those of you who you might recognize the name, but you're not sure from where, well, think of Wolf of Wall Street. That's based on a true story. And Jordan Belfort is the wolf. Yeah, what's-his-face's character is the in real life is Jordan Belfort, who is actually... he actually pled guilty to fraud and stock manipulation. What do you, I think he spent 2 years in a white collar federal pen, in prison. And of course, then of course he gets out and he becomes an author and sells a story and just makes a bazillion bucks the legal way. And good for him. I mean, you just, you know, you pay your debt to society and you should be able to be free to live your life. But he's back in the news again, not for any sort of stock manipulation, but warning against another kind of manipulation that is currently legal. And that is with this cryptocurrency stuff. Folks, I've warned you about cryptocurrency. I am not a big fan of it. Now, I know that there are some big players in there. I know people like, you know, even Mark Cuban is kind of big on cryptocurrency. But let me tell you, the problem with cryptocurrency, there are a lot of problems with cryptocurrency. Speaking of, you know, well, Bitcoin. But there are some 1,500 so-called cryptocurrencies out there. The vast majority of them are not traded in the real world. In other words, you can't buy anything with them. So I don't get this whole cryptocurrency crap in the first place, because you can't freely spend it. And there are a number of countries, and, you know, the United States will crack down on this at some point. But there are not some countries like China who are really maneuvering to not just regulate the hell out of it, but to ban it altogether. And as I've mentioned before, government needs to be able to control its own money supply, because any country that can't, they're a third world country, and they're going to stay there. Unless you have some sort of monetary system of your own that you can control somewhat, you're not going to be able to do anything. And there are some countries, well, I mean, some countries are very happy being, you know, third world, but maybe they're not really all that bad third world, because, you know, they're paradise. But then you got other countries that are smack in the middle of other countries that are trying to get out of the dark ages, and you can't because you don't have your own currency. And if you do have a currency, you got to take care of it. I mean, look what they did in Venezuela. I mean, they just destroyed their currency. And look what's happening to Venezuela. If you don't have a good, solid currency of your own, you're going to be a shithole. And this is what, you know, do you think China is going to allow their country to return? They've experienced something that's, you know, once you're a first world country, you don't want to go back to third world. And they're not going to allow any outside invented type of thing that's based on nothing. There's no value behind Bitcoin. There's nothing there. And this is why a lot of governments get in, including the United States, can get into trouble because, again, our money's not based on anything anymore real either. There's no real value there. But Bitcoin is even worse. It's just a bunch of digits in cyberspace. It means absolutely nothing. Well, it's based on supply and demand, right? It's not even based on that. I mean, at least with paper money, it has to be printed. At least the paper is worth something. But digital currency is worth nothing. There's nothing at all. Just some computer somewhere just decides to issue more currency. And don't you think that somebody could manipulate that? Well, this is where Jordan Belfort comes into play, talking about manipulation. You know, because, hey, you know, all these wonderful people talk about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that it can't be manipulated. It can't be this. No, BS, it can't. It already has been. And you've got some major players in it. I'm talking, you know, millionaires and billionaires who are diving into this. In other words, people who get into Bitcoin, especially some leftists who talk about decentralize this because it's not controlled by banks and governments, and the 1% owns so much of real currency, it's ridiculous, right? Well, if you look deep into it, and you don't even have to go that deep. Cryptocurrency is exactly like the real world. This is why I say people just don't understand economics and the nature of people. Now, Bitcoin was invented by a single person, so they say, and released upon the world. And quickly, who controls most of it? Well, most of Bitcoin is controlled by 1% of Bitcoin investors. They own the bulk of it. Just like in the real world. There's no difference. And these people are doing what we, in Bitcoin and in cryptocurrency, they're doing what we accuse George Soros of doing to real money. But everybody, it can't be controlled. It's bullshit, it can't be controlled. Now, yes, the notion that some sort of digital or cryptocurrency is here to stay. But we've always known it was going to go that direction. At some point, you know, dollars are going to be, you know, credits. You know, they're basically. We've seen it in science fiction movies where everything was digital, but they were still controlled by the government. So you're going to have, you know, at some point you're going to have, you know, instead of the American dollar, you're going to have the American credit. You're going to have, you know, the Chinese credit and the British credit and the Euro credit. That's the way it's going to, because it has to be that way. It's not going to be this free-for-all wild, wild west type of thing. And if you think nobody's controlling it, you better think again. And here's a story. Bitcoin falls off cliff again as cryptocurrency slumps deepen. Now, you know, there were some people talking about at one point, yeah, cryptocurrency could be, Bitcoin could be $100,000 per coin. Like, what kind of idiocy is that? That just cannot happen. And if it does happen, what you're going to have is a bunch of people who already own a whole bunch of this stuff, then decide to sell it off. Now, once that starts to happen, they're going to take their profits and run. Now, I don't know how you actually convert this stuff back into the real dollars, but I don't fully understand this whole thing. Now, and if you've noticed, I've actually seen them popping up around here in New England. These cryptocurrency ATMs. Yeah, you walk into the store. There's one in Manchester. I forget the store. It's a little convenience store. You walk into the store, and at first it looks like a regular ATM until you take a closer look, and it's buy your cryptocurrency here. And I'm like, what? And you stick in your card. It's even got a cash slot. You stick in your card. And you buy Bitcoin or Litecoin or whatever some of these others are. So I don't know where that money goes. If nobody owns it, not even a government, where does the money go? And how do you get it back out? I have a lot of questions about this stuff, and I've been trying to find answers. But this there is this whole notion that cryptocurrency is non-manipulative. It can't be manipulated, which is a bunch of BS because it's being manipulated right now. Not to mention, it's supposed to be safe. It's not safe. It's based on this on a blockchain notion, which is fine. But at the same time, the downside to blockchain is that, you know, you can see a sale happen, but you don't know who made the sale. And you don't know who the buyer is. All you do, yeah, there's a sale. There's an exchange. You can see it in real time. You just don't know who the players are. And now we're starting to see a rise in crypto napping. Now, I've mentioned this before. People aren't supposed to know how much you have in Bitcoin. It's supposed to be all anonymous. But somehow these people find out that you own a lot of Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency. And they kidnap you. They threaten you and your family unless you turn over a certain amount of cryptocurrency. And somehow they know exactly how much you have because they ask for almost all of it. And there's no way to trace the transaction. It's like a cash transaction. Except there's no, you're not going out to a park somewhere and dumping a duffel bag full of money into the garbage can. I've mentioned this stuff before, how easy it is and what these people do. First of all, it's all anonymous, so you transfer your Bitcoin to another Bitcoin, and then they take this electronic wallet thing and they transfer it to another account. And because it's all anonymous, all you can possibly see is a transaction, but you don't know who, what, when, or where. And they do a couple of flips and it, boom, gone, ether. Out into the, don't know where it goes. Don't know who has it. And you can't get it back. And not to mention if the system goes down or gets hacked. There have been hacks on cryptocurrency, so-called cryptocurrency clearinghouses or banks. And all that happens is they don't steal it. They just wipe it out. You know, you log into your account one day and you got 100 Bitcoin. You log in the next day and you got zero. And you're like, where'd it go? Well, it can't be traced where it went. There is no way to trace it. It's like it never, like you never owned it, but you know you owned it. And the blockchain has seen that somebody owned that, but now nobody owns it. It's gone. No way for you to get it back. Absolutely impossible with the current system in place for you to get it back. There's even been crypto robbery. You know, they've gone into exchanges, even here in the United States. And people have had their Bitcoin not just, you know, hacked and disappeared, but stolen. And again, you can't prove it. And there are scam artists who have come on board with Bitcoin. Again, you can't trace the scam. And there's something called what, an initial crypto or initial coin offering, an ICO, similar to an IPO for stock, but ICO. And there have been a number of scams where people have dumped a lot of their cryptocurrency into these. They're not even real companies yet. And they just buy. You know, thank you for your you know, gathering and allowing us to gather a million coin here, or what have you, 100,000 coin or whatever it is, and buy. No product, no service ever comes. And again, you can't do anything because you don't have any stock. You have nothing showing that you bought something, really. Again, this whole blockchain thing. And you couple that with manipulation. If you get in, I know that there are some people that make some money on it. And then, of course, there are still some people out there that do this, that do the crypto mining. Oh, you want to talk about a scam? Anybody remember the old? They actually, was there a movie about this too? But here's the gist of it. You had some bank robbers that didn't really rob a bank. What they did is create an algorithm, because in the banking system, they deal in fraction of pennies. And so what they thought they'd do without being noticed, and this was some time ago, this is 80s or 90s, what they thought they'd do is they'd be able just to take, you know, mine the fraction of a penny, and nobody would notice. And they thought, you know, well, you know, it would take us a while, you know, we'll get $100,000, you know, maybe a few $100,000 over, you know, a few months. Nobody would ever notice it. The problem for them was, and how they got caught, is because they underestimated how fast these fraction of a pennies could add up. And then banks started to notice. And these guys are sitting on millions of dollars thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do with this? This is not the way it's supposed to go. It's the same with this Bitcoin or crypto coin currency mining. As they take this small little, it's like, it. Think of a credit card transaction. There's a, you know, the credit card company gets a fee for that. You know, based on a percentage of the sale or a flat fee or what have you. It can be small. But you combine that with thousands or millions of transactions, and that little itty-bitty adds up to be a whole lot. Well, this is what some of these early crypto miners have done, because every time there's a transaction, it has to go through a blockchain processor or miner, and they get to take a small fraction of the cost of that transaction, just like a, you know, credit card transaction. And there are people literally becoming crypto millionaires off of this stuff. Again, are they translating this into real dollars? I guess some people are able to. I don't know exactly how you do it. I'll never forget being in this is a few years ago now, but being sitting in Castro's cigar lounge, drinking some scotch and smoking a cigar, and this guy trying to get me turned on to Bitcoin. This is when I first heard about Bitcoin. I'm like, nah, I don't understand it, don't care about it, no. And he was talking about how he was getting into Bitcoin mining, and this is how you do it. And to me, it just sounded like it was hokey, like it was a scam. And lo and behold, that's basically what it is. So Bitcoin falls off the cliff again as cryptocurrency slumps, because everybody was sitting high on crypto. Remember when, how was it, like 15,000 almost per coin? Well, now it's trading at just a little over 6,400. And it's heading south. So again, there are a lot of people that got, you know, hey, oh, Bitcoin's going up. So, the, you know, 9,000 per coin, they were investing in it. And now it's down at 60. And it doesn't look like it's going to rebound unless there's some sort of manipulation that happens from the big guys. And of course, what they're doing is they're just simply waiting for it to bottom out so they can buy more coin, then force the price back up and then sell again. And the Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, says he wishes that that's what he did back then instead of the stock manipulation, because it'd be easier and it's legal. There are no regulations or laws against most of this stuff. ICOs, no laws or regulations regulating ICOs. You got regulation up the wazoo for an IPO, but not an ICO. And if something goes south, you can't really trace who the people are. I mean, there was one particular... I'm like, really? An ICO company on their About Me page, one of their officers, there was a picture of Ryan Gosling. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, people are investing in this guy. None of the people were real. You know, they had pictures of all, you know, like eight different companies, supposed officers. And one of them was Ryan Gosling. I'm like, are you kidding me? And another company, I guess, had what's his name, who played Deadpool. Another company had him. And I'm looking at more and more of this stuff, and you got Wolverine. Who's the actor that played Wolverine? Yeah, he's another officer of another company. None of them are real. And people are buying the IC with the promise that, well, yeah, you're going to make all this extra Bitcoin off of us, the investors. And then they disappear. And sometimes these scams go on it went on for as long as 2 years. They raised 2 million Bitcoin. Now, if Bitcoin is at 6,000 per coin, and they got 2 million of them? Maybe I did miss out. Yeah, I know there are a lot of people that are still, you know, so gung-ho about this cryptocurrency stuff. I'm telling you right now, there isn't going to be any choice but to regulate it or ban it. So I don't know when the clampdown is going to happen, but when that clampdown does come, it is all, whatever value is left in these coins, in this currency, is going to be crushed. And with my luck, I would get in at a particular point when the regulation happens and I'd lose everything. So I'm not even touching it, folks. It is that bad. Now, it may be a few years down the line. I know some people some people in the know are saying you can expect regulation in the States sometime between 2024 and 2026, but not before. So you got some time, I guess, but there are other countries that are looking at, like, people just don't know. We don't know when China's going to rule on this stuff, but they're talking about it. And if some Chinese government official gets stung by cryptocurrency, you better believe that Xi's head his eyes are going to look on it. You know, kind of like Sauron of Lord of the Rings. That listless eye from China of Xi is going to turn its gaze upon the cryptocurrency in China, and that's going to be the end of it. And if you think taking nearly 1.5 billion people out of the market isn't going to affect it negatively, then you're an idiot. I'm just saying now, right now, you've got cryptocurrency is heading south, especially Bitcoin and all the others too. Again, there's some 1,500 of them at least. Is there any computer genius out there that wants? I mean, I got great marketing skills. We can team up together. If you can figure out how to come up with an algorithm, we can invent our own cryptocurrency and make a mint legally. Because there's no regulation on it. I think it's a fascinating thing, folks. It's a dangerous thing, but it's fascinating, but dangerous and speculative. And if you want to waste your money on it, go right ahead. But I'm telling you right now, it's on the way down, and it could be on the way out as we know it. Will cryptocurrency be around? Yeah, the barn door has been open in that. We're not going to put, you're not going to put the cow back in the barn on this one. But governments are going to own it, just like they own cash today. Don't say I didn't warn you.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
Yeah. See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn.